News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Happy New Year, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 1st of January, Anno Domini 2006, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Sound Bites. Happy New Year to each and every one of you. I'm very excited.
Maybe we should talk softer. Maybe. Because of some folks, you know.
Happy New Year.
Yes, very soft.
It's a new year, so.
You know, that's one thing we were talking about last night. Matter of fact, I was talking with, Rob there too. I got to see Dick Clark, and I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, you go. Is that really the man that
your
I watched?
Image that we've had the last 100 years. You know, it's really great that even though he's sick, he had the stroke, he's out there doing it. It was.
He had the chutzpah to get out there and actually do it.
Well, you're sitting there going, is this really the man that I've watched on TV my entire life?
Yeah, see, that's the whole thing. I remember him from American Bandstand, so energetic, and I guess that's the way I would have
rather. When he really was the age he pretended to be all those years?
Yeah.
Of course, compared to the garbage they had on the other channels, you're just like,
well, there's that.
I don't know. But yeah, good stuff. It was nice to see him.
We did. It was nice. We had we did something, originally we were planning on going to a friend's house. They invited us a couple of days ago, and we were going to go to their house. But yesterday morning, I took my dogs out. I have these two dogs.
They're
a black lab and bull mastiff mix. And they're big. They're big dogs. They're energetic dogs. They're just a year old on Boxing Day, and they're energetic. And I took them out, and as I opened the back, I took them both out at once. That was mistake number one. We have training collars for them that I've stopped wearing for the longest time. And they weren't in that. That was a mistake. I opened the back door with these two dogs on the leash, and the next thing I know, there's this orange tabby. I don't even know whose orange tabby this is in the driveway. They took off after the tabby, and I went with them. I'm a hefty guy, and they just lifted me right off my feet and took me down the driveway and into a tree.
To the hunt.
Oh, yes. Took me down the driveway and into a tree. So I spent the rest of the day on the couch whimpering.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm just picturing this.
Well, your dogs are each the size of a fairly fat fly, so I'm not entirely certain you have any idea what I'm talking about.
Take a whole herd of them to pull them along.
Yeah, mine are maybe total, maybe 50 pounds.
Yeah, maybe. 50?
Yeah.
8 pounds, maybe. On.
No, seriously, that
beautiful
one,
little
my
dog.
One is porked up a little. She's solid. And that's why I don't understand how her sister, who's lighter than her, kicks the hell out of her. You know?
Yeah.
And she puts up with it.
Yeah, it's the personality. Yeah. Our two are both in the 90-pound range, and they're big girls, and they just took me along with them. So I spent the rest of the day on the couch. We never did get out in the evening. But we ended up with what's clearly going to be a Francesco tradition. We stayed home. Thus avoiding all the amateur drunks who only go out on New Year's and St. Patrick's Day.
Yep.
And we did a fondue pot. We had, the oil
ooh,
and we did
the 70s.
Yeah, it was great.
So
no,
cool.
Don't, it was great. We had steak and shrimp and bread and vegetables, and Elaine made a great little tempura dip if you wanted a tempura something. And we just sat there, and of course it takes forever to eat.
Yes.
So we sat there for hours and talked as a family sitting together. And talking, it was wonderful.
Because each person takes a time to put the sticks in that and to cook it, and you're sitting around while it's doing it, talking.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
that,
it was great.
That is so cool.
It was great. But I was in pain, and I'm not feeling a whole lot better this morning. This arm, it hurts to lift it much past here.
Well, you know the old saying, doctor, it hurts when I do that?
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
We'll remember the old vaudeville. We'll dig up the old vaudeville jokes if you'll remember them.
Yeah, we went to a Hogamani party last night.
A who?
Hogamani.
Hogamani?
Huh?
Scottish New Year.
Hogamani.
Hogamani.
Did you have haggis?
Haggis. Well, we didn't have haggis, but the host was in his kilt.
Oh, that's nice.
His ceremonial dress kilt.
Ooh, even better.
Oh. Yeah.
But he still had his weapons. it's old science fiction. Part of my science fiction friends at Lazarus Long, written by Robert Heinlein.
Right.
One of the things is he always wore a kilt.
Right.
So he could get his blasters really easy. And right. Didn't have to appear to be armed because they were hidden under the kilt.
Right. But yeah, we had a great New Year's. It was very. Why are you in our side?
Looking for a pen.
What? You want a pen? I got a pen. Well, Rob,
just make
is
sure
suddenly,
I get it back.
Rob is suddenly in here with
Remember
us, and
where
that's
you
just,
got that.
That's frightening. That's just frightening. Get back in your little room and start shoveling the coal.
Well, I was trying to get him to raise the volume on my headset here, and I can't.
I let that pen go.
You'll never see it again.
It's like a
stop it. You'll see it again.
There's a huge vacuum around here. I've brought in tons of pens.
A pen sucking
vacuum.
Well,
just, this huge 50,000 watt radio station, I can't find a pen.
Well, now you have one of Dave's.
I'm happy now.
But you have to stay in your room. Don't come in here where the lounge is and the couch and the serving girls.
You love when I come in there, so just get over it.
He wanted some of the cookies.
By the way, Dave, the cookies, they're delish.
Thank you.
Dave brought great cookies for Christmas.
And the rum balls, so there's a very good chance we'll all be smashed by 1 o'clock.
That's right. Many of us have already sampled the rum balls, and they're excellent. Listen, we're going to get to the phones at some point today. When you call in, we want to know what cool geek thing you got as a present this year. That's an important part of today's phoning in. That's what we want to know. So let's go to the phones. Why not? Let's do that here on New Year's Dave. Our first New Year's Dave. I just said New Year's Dave.
Thank you.
Good, nice rum balls. We're getting. I actually haven't had a rum ball yet. I'm looking forward to it, though. Our first caller of 2006. Drum roll, please. No drum roll.
No
nice.
Drum roll.
No, never mind. No, it's too late now. You missed the moment.
No, you should have warned me.
He's got his hand.
Why do I have to warn you? You've got 600 billion buttons.
Right. No,
there
but he's got his hand on the
50,000 watt station.
He's got his hand on the phone button. He can't get the sound effect button.
Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, the first call of 2006. I'm hearing nothing. That was better? Better than what?
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, you gotta push the button.
All right, go ahead.
Our first caller of 2006.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dan, for commercial.
Thank you. Dan from Brockport. Dan, it was an awful tough time getting to you. I hope you've got a great question.
Well, I don't know how great it is. But basically, the question is trying to get a legacy game booting up way back to when? To the Diablo #1. Basically, I'm having problems having good-looking video. It boots up fine, but when the graphics are on the screen, it's so bad and so fuzzy, I can barely even read all the lettering that's there.
Okay, you're running this on... let's get a little background here to help us out. One, what operating system are you running? Do you know the video card? How much memory?
Okay, well, on the video card or the system?
Both.
All of it.
Okay, well... Running an XP system. Mm-hmm. It's an ATI Radeon 9250 with 256 megs of cache memory, and the system itself has a gig on it.
Okay. And this is a relatively new game?
No, it's a very old game.
Very old game.
And that's the problem.
All right.
A lot of the old games wrote their own video drivers for the cards at the time.
Right. And what you might have to do on this particular game, and this I've run into in the past few weeks, which I'll get to in just a minute. But in your case, what you might want to try to do is, you know how there's an icon on the desktop for that game?
Wherever it is, yeah.
Or wherever it is. If you right-click on it, there's a compatibility mode. And you can sit there and fake the game out and make it think that Windows XP is actually Windows 98. And you might have to do that. In other words, you click on that compatibility mode and, select that and see if the game runs there.
Now, Dan,
hearing people do is keep old PCs around so they can play old games.
Right, right. Now, Dan, before you move on, what was your geek gift?
I didn't follow that. Sorry.
Oh, did you get a geek gift for the holidays?
Oh, a geek gift for the holidays? I got a subscription to PC Gamer.
Very nice. Very nice. Anyway, try all of that and let us know if it works.
One thing, though, that I saw a lot this week, or a number of phone calls, folks didn't listen to us.
Uh-oh.
We told folks, and I'll say it over and over again, and I don't care whether it's for the Mac or the PC, they're going out and buying these games and not checking the requirements for the games
right.
and what they have at home.
Right.
So they're going out and buying, you know, these high-end games, and even if they got a low-end Mac, I'm assuming it would
same
run
issue,
the same
yeah.
thing. You're not going to be able to run it.
Check the processor requirement.
Processor the speed. The
memory speed.
Memory speed, disk space. The
double
whole
double the recommended if you really want it to work.
Yes,
well.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You got to take the time and know what you've got at home so when you go out shopping, you're going to get a game that's going to work.
And it's especially a big issue in the PC side because you see these $299 computers for sale on TV all the time. Really low-end hardware in those really, really cheap computers.
Right.
You know, barely enough memory to run Windows.
Yeah.
Right.
And
a graphics card that can't even get out of its own way.
And then I and my partner Dan get slammed. Well, they said it would work. What you, blah, 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 you know, back and forth, and I'm the bad guy because I'm telling them they need more memory.
Yeah, you're telling them they need $300 in upgrades. You know, faster processor, more memory, bigger hard drive. Well, I just bought this new computer.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to play that game on it.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So, all don't right, shoot our, the messenger.
Yeah, exactly. Our next caller, Mike from Batavia. Mike, what was your geek gift this year?
An issue of 2600.
Oh, nice.
Whoa.
That is a geek gift.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that what's your problem?
Go ahead.
It was funny to read. It's the only magazine I know where they can swear in a magazine.
Well, yeah, there are very few out there where they can. 2600 is the Hacker's magazine, and they don't pull any punches in any way, shape, or form in that thing. So what's your question, Mike?
I had something called a rootkit get on my system, and it danced a security tango, but it doesn't seem to want to get off of there.
Well, you might
someone else read the Hacker magazine, and now they've broken into your computer.
What it is now? Do you have regular antivirus software on there?
Norton 2005,
and it's running okay.
Yes, but it can't remove it.
Yeah, many root kits cannot be removed without specific instructions for that specific root kit. Do you know the name of the root kit?
It says rdrive.sys, and it says trojan.cache kit.
You might have to use a program called Hijack This, and that will get it at least out of the boot sector.
I tried it, but nothing seems to work. Is it possible I need to reform it?
No.
That's always the bottom line, if nothing else works.
Have you
tried
Hijack This?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, the big danger with Hijack This is knowing exactly what to remove.
Yeah, you got to know what to take.
If you remove the wrong thing, you break Windows more.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is... Oh, dear. Yeah, this is one of the big ones.
Yeah, it's not an easy one to get rid of.
There's a program called Rootkit Revealer, which you can get. Now, the question is, where is Rootkit Revealer? I'm desperately trying to find that. I believe Steve's going to find it before I do. You need
that
to
will
use,
remove it?
That's theoretically the one that will
That'll
remove it,
That'll get you
yes.
on the root, removing the root.
Yeah, listen, that's where you want to go. You can go to sysinternals.com/utilities/rootkitrevealer.htm. Steve will list that on the website. It'll be there in a moment. Check with that. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe starting yet another year on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is the New Year's Day edition of Sound Bites. Before we get back, I have to tell you I've made some changes to Ask Nick. I'm very excited. I just started this. Means a lot more work for me, but hey, that's okay.
you don't have anything else to do.
Yeah,
exactly. It's no longer just a Q&A. Now what I'm sending out is a whole newsletter. There's a website, there's a tip, there's a rant and rave, there's a Q&A. It's a whole set of stuff that goes out every time I send one out. I admit it's been a little sporadic the last 2 weeks, but that's what I'm sending out now. So I'm very excited about this, and it seems most of the people that get the newsletter are very excited too.
Well, and this isn't like I was saying in the commercial. You know, this is another feature that they're going to get for free. So it won't even cost him anything to try it out for just that 1 year.
That's right. You get it free.
You know, and
that's okay.
Great information and everything else. And now you're adding the newsletter and the tip. I mean, it's
yeah,
even
it's
that
a little bit
of
everything.
More.
I'm trying not to duplicate your stuff. It's just people, you know, by the time you get to, well, thank you. But by the time you get through all of these things, you're going to have more information than you'll know what to do with.
Like
your
say,
brains will hurt as much as ours do all the time.
I have fun doing those tips. Matter of fact, I was kind of low-key this week. I even got a couple of them in.
There you go. See? All right. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to talk to Linda from Greece, New York. Welcome, Linda. What was your geek gift this year?
I got a VHS DVD recorder. In other words, transfer VHS to DVDs.
Very nice.
Nice.
Oh, let me tell you. I've got about 200 VHS tapes.
Cool. And now you can put them
all
on DVD.
Add a couple of zeros to that, and you'll find my attic.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's only the front half. The betas are all still in the back. Yeah.
And I also want to tell you, Nick, I love your newsletter.
Thank you, Linda. I love to hear that. Thank
you. What did you get for a geek gift?
Oh, what did I get for a geek gift? I got a couple of really interesting things. Speaking of my dogs, I have to tell you that one of the things a friend of ours gave us, we haven't used them yet. I don't know that we're going to. They gave us something called shock collars, but they're not shocks.
Yes.
I've tried them. They're not. They're just a little buzz.
Yeah.
And the deal is, you use them as a training collar to keep the dogs from jumping up on things.
Yep.
So we're thinking seriously about that.
Does it work with kids too?
Wouldn't that be nice? and it doesn't seem in any way cruel, because it's not. I mean, I tried it. I held the thing to my hand. It's not like, you know, 60,000 volts went through me. It was just a little, like a joy buzzer kind of thing.
It's just a little sting.
When they get up on the couches and stuff like that, I have to say that would be very cool. The number one gift that I got, the entire series of Nero Wolf from A&E.
Ooh.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big Nero Wolf fan, loved the books, loved all that stuff. And they did a series on A&E, Timothy Hutton, Maury Chaykin. Great series. And my wife was kind enough to give me the whole series on DVD.
Good boy.
I reciprocated by giving her The Muppet Show.
Neat.
Do you know how hard it was the week before Christmas to not hum that song once in her presence?
You know what I heard was John Denver and the Muppets doing that Christmas song? I heard that on the radio.
Sure.
And that's just one of those songs that you just can't get out of your head for a while, you know?
Yeah. Well, but that's the problem. Once I got it, I was humming the song, and every time she was around, I'd be going, dun 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 dun. She'd go, "What are you whistling?" I don't know. It just came out of my head.
Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Oh, it's a wonderful series. It's a wonderful series, and we've all said that's another family event. We all sit and watch it together. But boy, I tell you, that whole week of not being able to hum the thing just absolutely drove me insane. Insaner. but that was great, and I was very pleased. I also got her, thanks to our friend Jim Salmon, who turned me onto this, light up. House numbers for the house. They're solar powered house numbers.
I love mine.
They're
so
great?
Cool. It helps the pizza guy find the place.
Yeah, well, that's what it says. It says, you know, so that emergency people can find you. And I said, who are they kidding? It's for the pizza guy.
it's for us computer guys. Please, people, when you make a computer appointment, make sure your numbers are visible so we can find your house.
Well, isn't that the worst thing?
Is so deep.
Is it on the mailbox? Is it on the door? Is it on the jam? Is it on the street? Where's the number?
Or is it on the front? Is it on the steps?
Yeah.
Is it on the couch because they fell off and you haven't put them back yet?
Or, you know, the ones that I hate are the ones that they sit there and try to get fancy and they write them out.
Yeah, a nice script number that you can't read.
That you can't read at all. The whole point of a house number is so
visibility.
People can find
you. Give me the 6-inch or bigger numbers on a house visible over a garage or over a doorway.
Right.
And turn the porch light on.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Please. Exactly. Listen, we're going to take another break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. We've got Terry and John on the line. Call in. Join us in the Mayhem on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM, where you will find... we're going to talk this. Don't forget, when you call in, you're going to talk about what geek gift you got for Christmas. And if you didn't, then you can commiserate with us and make the people who give you gifts feel guilty that they didn't actually give you a geek gift. of any sort. And it doesn't have to be computer geeks. I've talked about, I'm also a movie and TV geek, and that was great for me. So call in and talk to us. It's a brand new year, and we're very excited to start another full year on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Back after the news.
These guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. The next person we're going to ask about their geek gift before we talk about a virus is Terry from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Terry. What's your question?
Good morning. Well, my geek gift I'm using right now, my headset for my cell phone.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Okay.
Well, bad news for you.
Oh, no. Is that working well?
You're a little crackly there, Terry.
Tell you what, I'll take it off then.
Okay, good.
How's that?
Oh, better.
I'm a little intimidated calling your show.
Oh, never. No. Have you listened to us today?
Yes, yeah, I have. I've listened to you over the years, and most of the stuff I don't really follow that well.
Neither do we. So.
Now, we're making it up as we go. We figure you guys are asking the questions. You don't know the answers either.
Yeah.
What's your question?
This is my question. My boys were downloading something for their iPod,
mm-hmm.
a gift from my brother,
mm-hmm.
and we seem to have gotten a cool www search. .wcadw that changed our internet to its own site.
Yeah, you've been hijacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to remove it. I do run Norton 2005.
Right.
Every week I run Stinger, then I run Adaware, and then I run Spybot.
You don't have to, if your Norton's up to date, you don't have to worry about Stinger, but
as much, but we
not at all. I mean, as long as the Norton's up to date.
Yeah, you make sure your Norton
is really
up to date.
It is.
Yeah.
It
automatically
does it on Friday.
There's another program.
CW Shredder.
Yeah, CW Shredder, especially for Cool Web Search. The problem is there are so many variants of this Cool Web Search, and a lot of them are sneaky to get in.
Yeah.
You see what looks like an actual Windows error message saying your browser's not optimized, or click here to add a search thing. Yeah. And it looks like a real message, but it's a fake advertisement. If you're lucky, it just installs spyware. If you're unlucky, it actually makes you pay for it.
Terry, the other thing is, are you using Internet Explorer?
Yes, sir.
That's the other problem.
But Terry, the stuff that you're doing is good, but it doesn't sound like you're dancing the full security tango.
Oh, what I miss?
Well, there are other steps like turning off
the restore points.
The restore points, which is probably
That's
where
gone.
Cool Web Search is hiding.
Wait a minute. What did you say?
That's already gone. The restore points were removed a while ago. That's where you can go back and...
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, my computer guy had taken that off for me.
That's good.
I did find in, I can't remember which program, I think it was CW Shredder said things were in the registry.
Yeah, you may have to run the Tango programs, especially CW Shredder in safe mode, because a lot of programs load themselves into the registry, they load themselves into the boot blocks, and so you can't remove them while they're actually running.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's another thing that why don't you dance the full tango? Head over to securitytango.com.
Okay.
And dance click the Let's Dance button.
Well, he's got all the programs. He's
right,
just make
and
sure
dance the tango from top to bottom.
Okay.
Not skipping any steps. And one of the things it'll do is tell you to go into safe mode, and that would probably be a good piece of it as well.
Those of us that really don't know their computer that well, how would I get into safe mode?
When the machine is booting up, start hitting, as soon as you hit the reset or restart, just keep hitting the F8 key and continually keep hitting it, and eventually you will get a screen, and the very first option is safe mode.
Now you have to do this before the Windows logo comes up.
The minute you hit the reset.
That's all on the page for the Security Tango, too, by the way. So you can print all that out and go from there if you like.
Give it a shot.
And I also would like to back up a step that he said this happened when his kids were downloading stuff for his iPod.
Yeah.
And that brings up the issue of the peer-to-peer networks again, that if you're downloading stuff from LimeWire or Kazaa or Morpheus or BearShare or any of those other places, virtually everything on those sites is illegal. you don't have the right to copy it because you didn't create it. And a lot of it is spyware masquerading as song. So you think you're downloading the Britney Spears song. It's really a virus or a spy program.
I got a good one. And you must run into this too. You can sit there and clean up somebody's machine.
Yep.
And then they turn around and you tell them, you know, I took Kazaa off. I took all this other LimeWire right. and all this other BearShare off. And then 2 weeks later, the machine gets reinfected.
The next day.
It's my fault. Sometimes that day.
Yeah, that day.
It's
yeah.
my fault because now the machine's back in there. It's reinfected and they don't feel like they should be charged. Well, wait a minute.
It was clean when it left it, our it office.
Was, yes,
yeah.
it was clean when you left here and you let your kids download all right. that stuff. Well, I can't be around them all the time. Well, then fine. Don't blame me if I got to charge right. you for your not being able to handle right. your kids.
So you need to make sure that, you know, it's great to think that every song ever written is available for free out on the internet. What you have to understand is first, it's illegal. And of course, as a parent, it's your job to teach your kids right from wrong. Let's not forget that part. But secondly, a lot of what you're downloading isn't the song. It's a virus. So your best bet really is to stay off of those networks.
The latest thing happening is the lyrics themselves. You know, back in the olden days when you actually got a vinyl album, you got liner notes and lyrics
stuff. Yep.
And a lot of times you don't see that with even CDs anymore. But now stores like Apple's iTunes Music Store, when you buy an album, it will often come with a PDF of the liner notes and lyrics.
Right.
But a lot of people over the years have typed lyrics into databases so you can read the lyrics of songs. And those lyrics are copyright by someone,
right.
the guy
right.
that wrote the song, mm-hmm. and it's illegal for you to make your own copy.
I've got a question for you, and I've been meaning to ask you guys this for a long time, and other people might have that question as well. A lot of people are now taking vinyl and burning them onto CD.
Yeah.
The other place I work, we have a lot of people that do that. They have massive record libraries at home. Are there websites that you can go to that will find song titles, album names?
The CDDB.
Okay.
The compact disc database.
But does the program that you use to burn your CDs do this automatically for you, or do you have to?
It's not. The song titles are not embedded on the CD. They are loaded in by your music program that plays the song.
Okay.
So when you put your CD into the computer, in the case of iTunes especially, it looks at the CDDB and downloads the names of the songs into the iTunes jukebox. The song names are not included on the CD itself.
So in the case of burning a record onto a computer, you'd have to enter in like the album name or something like that, and it would have to go find it, right?
Right. And in most cases, since you're burning it yourself, you're going to have to type them all in manually. Because it doesn't conform to the original CD information,
right,
the checksums
right,
and the sizes and lengths.
Right, there are if you're on a CD burning program, it does that automatically. But for vinyl,
because vinyl didn't have it in there.
And I always wondered about that because you know, like I say, a lot of people have these massive amounts of vinyl. You can't get some of this stuff on CD.
Yeah, it'd
you know,
be a
so
little
rare
more,
they want to preserve it on a CD.
Yeah, going to a CD, it's going to be a little more work taking it from vinyl to CD because, like Steve was saying, you're going to have to put in all the titles and everything else manually. Yep.
But it's doable.
Yeah.
And particularly if, you know, if you're looking to move your old collection over to digital before you lose the ability to buy any needles, that's the way to do it. Back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray. Sorry.
Somebody just IM'd me, and there's icons bouncing
on my
screen.
Take the rum balls away from him.
Yeah. I'm trying to turn the recorder back
Sean
on.
Sean Hannity probably doesn't even know where the on switch is.
Yeah. All right, we're back. We're not going to get into a hissy fit match with the guy who does our announcements.
Why not?
He's not here.
That's a good question. He's not here to fight back. If we had him here to fight back, I don't even know who this guy is. Get him in here.
Oh, we
get him in
get
here.
Him get him on the phone.
Get him, call,
yeah,
get him
on the phone.
Call him up right now. Yeah. What the heck is wrong with you?
Well, he's right.
We do know things about other things.
Like?
I know what it's like to get dragged down a driveway by two crazed dogs chasing a cat up a tree. And I got to tell you, I watched this cat, It went like 40 feet up this tree. I don't think it touched the tree trunk once. It flew. It flew from the sidewalk to the tree. Whoosh, well, like magic.
The dogs are taking you for a walk.
I mean, that's what it always is. They took me around for a scrape is what they did.
That's the thing. You don't have dogs. You have two horses.
Yeah, they are big dogs.
You know?
They're big girls. They are. Well, they protect our house. That's what they're for. Yep. That's their job. And they do it pretty well, except when they're dragging me around the neighborhood to show me probably the places they protect me from.
When they drag you down the driveway and you get injured, you now have the light-up numbers on your house so the ambulance can find you.
So they know their way home now.
The pizza guy can tell them where we live. Our next caller is John from Greece. John, what geek gift did you get?
I didn't get any, actually.
Ah! That's okay, too. What's your question?
I've got a Mac clone.
Uh-huh.
And when I turn it on, I don't get any images on the monitor. But I do get a flash of light that goes across the monitor from left to right, just a line like of it. And I've turned it on both with the button on the case and from the keyboard, and it does the same thing. And then when I do turn it on, I'll hear three kind of like burps and then a click, like a switch is closing. But I don't get anything on the monitor.
Does the computer sound like it's starting up normally?
Yes, I'd say so.
Maybe the monitor dying or have died.
No. I know the monitor's good.
You try the monitor on another computer and another monitor on this computer?
Yep. Done both of them.
Then it's got to be either the video card.
Okay.
If you've tried that monitor on another machine and it's good.
Yes.
And if you've tried another monitor on this machine and it has the same problem.
Correct.
Then the problem has got to be either the video card or the machine itself.
How old a computer did you say this was?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe 8 years.
It may be the PRAM battery, or the CMOS battery in PC terms.
Right.
There's a little battery in the computer that...
Wait, you just said no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've checked the battery. The battery's, you know, I've replaced battery, actually. It's a good battery.
The full 3.6 volts.
Yep.
It's got to be either the video card or the motherboard.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
A lot of times you can unplug everything from the motherboard, the floppy drive, hard drive, CD drive, unplug everything you can and see if it starts up with just the as little as possible in the computer, and then start putting things back in one at a time until it...
Turned off, of course.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty much where you're going to have to be at this point, I'm afraid.
It's detective work now.
It may be the power supply not powering up the motherboard, too.
Yeah, it could be.
Weak power
supply. Could be the power supply.
Yeah.
Particularly if he gets those three odd noises in a click.
And the danger is with a computer that old, a repair charge is going to be more than the value of the computer.
Yeah, but what about a diagnostic? Just taking it to some place to do a diagnostic.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the problems with that is in order to know if it's the power supply or not, you got to put a new power supply in it.
Right.
And depending on what model it is, it may be an odd power supply, so then you got to buy a part that may not work, and it's really tricky with a lot of the older computers.
Yep.
But that really is, you know, that's where he stands. He's got to make that choice now. And if he takes it in for a diagnostic, they can at least do an estimate and tell him that, you know, it's going to cost us $100 to diagnose this or $50. And then he can make his decision.
Yep.
Our next caller is Leonard, slowly turning to us from Niagara Falls. Leonard, what geek toy did you get for Christmas?
My favorite geek gift is being able to talk to you gentlemen on the weekend.
Oh, aren't you a sweetheart? Thank you so much.
No, I spent most of my money on my daughter and my son with their cameras and their MP3 players.
Yeah, yeah. Christmas isn't cheap anymore, is it?
Oh, no, but in income tax, I'm getting a new computer anyhow, so it don't matter.
Good for you. There you go.
There were stories on the news before Christmas about no one's buying toys. It's all electronics and stuff. Yeah, and even toys, you know, a doll has a chip in it so it can talk and move and whatever.
So what's going on with your computer?
Okay, it's my son's computer. He bought himself a new one, but I lost the ability to use the mouse and the keyboard. I tried USB, I tried a regular, but neither one of them seemed to be working either.
Now, you've got them plugged into the right ports.
Oh, yes. I've tried the regular ports, and then I went USB to make sure to see if it was... I have a sneaky feeling the motherboard's going.
Yeah, I think it sounds like you're losing... the connectors off the back.
Yeah, both the PS2 controller and the USB controller failing is
yeah, that's usually a sign of a motherboard going.
Yeah.
I mean, cause everything boots up fine. I mean, like, I put in the restore disk, and it boots up, but I just can't get it to run because I can't get it to click.
Now, when it's first booting up, does the keyboard act okay that you could hit, say, like, the delete key?
Nope, I tried all that. I tried the F8. It flashes, but that's it.
Yeah, it sounds like as long as you're sure that the connectors are in the right ports, you know, the keyboard is in the keyboard and the mouse.
Well, and with USB, it wouldn't matter. It would find it.
Yeah, but he said he also tried regular ones.
Right.
And of the PS2, I've seen folks switch to PS2
connectors. As long as you're sure that's right, it's
clearly, motherboard.
It's the motherboard. I'm sorry, Leonard. We're going to take another quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. Rob has that look on his face again like he's not sure what I'm doing. And me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If you're a fan, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
What's the ugly look on your face
wow.
for?
Wow, and we're at Soundbites. Let me tell you something.
Can I tell you that I just feel like I took a shot of rum with those rum balls?
Holy mother of pearl. I just tried one of Dave's rum balls. I told him next year, put in some ball with that rum.
I know.
That's like a glass of rum to take
well,
that.
Well, like
that's
I told
just,
you.
It's delicious.
I mean, it's from a friend of mine, and that Yow. Rum has to be at least 20 years old.
I know it added 20 years to my life.
Probably took off 20 years.
Yeah, maybe. And believe it or not, I mean, that recipe, there's only a cup of rum in that.
Uh-huh.
Per ball?
I was going to say.
Wowie.
In other words,
man, that was good.
You like my cooking then?
No, I like your rum anyway. Our next caller is Ace Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ace. What's your geek gift for the season?
Yeah, I bought myself a new laptop.
Good for you.
Yeah. I had to buy it myself, though. The question I have is I got two computers, one permanently connected to Roadrunner, and I have the wireless Vonage router. And I can't connect to any web pages at all, on either computers.
Now, you've got this hooked up to a router hub?
It's actually hooked up to the Vonage phone modem, which also is a wireless router.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you take the Vonage out of the circuit and just hook one of your machines directly to the cable modem, does it work?
I didn't try that yet.
You should try that first.
The phone does work.
No, no, that's not the point.
Okay. One thing I've been noticing, because he's got the Vonage hub router, and you guys might run into it too, is folks also have the firewall on their PC. So they've not only got the firewall going on with the hub router.
The rub router?
A couple more rum balls, please.
That's why the gingerbread man's got a smile on his face.
You got that right. He was sitting next to the rum. Anyways, you might have double firewalls going on in your machine.
Okay.
So you might want to check with, if you're running Windows XP, to make sure that the, good old Microsoft firewall is disabled.
Right. But the first test to make is to determine where the problem is. And the best way to do that is to connect one of your systems directly to the Roadrunner cable modem. That will tell you whether or not the problem is the cable modem or the Vonage modem. Then we can move on to the next step. I don't know a lot about the Vonage modem, but it may well be that although it has the capability, the routing function isn't turned on by default. So you may have to actually go into the hub router and turn on the
DHCP.
Routing function.
And that may be an extra service.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah,
and if he's got a static IP and that type of stuff, there's a lot of variables, so he's going to have to do a little more homework.
Yep. All right, our next caller, John from Greece, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question? John, are you there? Oh, John. Hello?
He's gone.
No, John.
All right.
We have no John. Our next caller is Scott from Buffalo, New York. Welcome, Scott. What's your question?
Well, first of all, what did I get for Christmas?
Yeah.
I got a Mac 2.5 gigahertz G5, 2.5 gigabytes RAM, 500 gigabytes hard drive, 30-inch monitor.
Yeah. Oh, the new quad 2.5.
Yeah, dual core.
Yeah, dual core. So he's got four 2.5 CPUs in it.
Okay, right. Scott, we'll all be over later.
my wife gave it to me for Christmas.
Your wife Very loves nice. You. Oh. Are you adopting? Because I'm available.
I'm stunned.
You should be. Your wife loves you very much.
She decided that I needed to get into the 21st century.
You may have leapfrogged into the 22nd century with that machine. Nice work.
This is connected with my problem. What I also have, my old machine, is a blue and white G3 running system 8.6.
Holy cow.
And on that machine, I have probably 15,000 Microsoft Word files, none of which are saved in the .doc ending.
Because you didn't need to on the Mac.
Yeah, that's right. And now I'm trying to get these things over to my new machine and have it be able to see them. And it looks like I have to save every single file, resave every single file as a .doc.
You don't necessarily need to resave that. You just need to add the .doc to the end of the file name.
Well, I tried that. Oh, okay. Maybe that will. That's enough.
And there are some batch renaming programs that will do all that for you.
Oh, okay.
Whoa, he's loving you.
15,000 files, you don't want to have to type
that's
that.
Yeah. This may be your second big Christmas present coming up here, Scott.
And some of that's because in the OS X, in the current Mac systems based on Unix, uses file extensions.
Right.
So it's more important to have those file extensions, and it also helps when you're transferring files to Windows that requires the file extensions as well.
Right.
So if you can go to probably versiontracker.com is a great website for tracking software, and it allows you to find a lot of these little utilities. And just do a search for batch rename or just rename, and you'll probably find a dozen different programs that will let you rename batches of files.
The only caveat there is to make sure that the one you're getting works with 10 point whatever.
Right. And pretty much they all, any of the newer ones would. In fact, there's a couple of them. I think I remember one called a Better Finder Renamer. It will actually look into the file so you can drop a whole folder full of stuff on it, and it will add the .doc, the .mp3, the .jpg. It will figure out what type of file it is and add the correct file extension.
Okay, well, good for you, Scott. And like I said, we'll all be over later to play with your new toy. Our next caller, John, from Greece, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hey, that's me.
John, turn off your radio.
John.
Okay. Well, he's gone.
John's gone.
Maybe he'll call back when he wants
to. That's try number two. He'll have to call back next week now.
John, you got to turn off the radio when you're holding on the line. That's important. That's important. Do we have time for another call?
No.
All right, we'll just vamp till ready.
One of the things that we were going to talk about, though, was some of the newer toys that we think we've seen over the past year. And as far as the hardware end of it, I would have to say the two biggest things that came out for 2005 were, one, the decrease in price on the flat panel screens.
Yes.
And the serial ATA drives that are a lot faster.
And cheaper.
Faster, better, cheaper.
Yeah,
I mean, both
world.
Of those came down in price. And, you know, one, you gain more real estate on your desk because you get the smaller monitor. And the hard drives, you're gaining speed and more space to store stuff. At a low price.
But remember, now you need more space to back up your stuff.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to take another break. It's time for the news. When we come back from the news, we'll talk about the website. We'll talk about what people got for the holidays. We'll talk about what we think are the coolest and worst products of the year. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites. Only on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
On the New Year's Day edition of Soundbites 2006, Anno Domini 2006. We will get back to the phones, but before we do, we want to talk about a couple of things that are going on here in on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll right there on the front page. Last week's poll was about who should control, actually 2 weeks, who should control which video game kids buy. 478 of you voted, making it number 13 on the all-time hit list. Thank you very much. And overwhelmingly, 87% of you said parents. 6% of you, putting your tongues firmly in your cheeks, said the kids, of course. 5% said the government. 520, that's 22 incredibly misguided people. And 11 other misguided people said retailers. This week's poll, we've already talked about this a little bit. We've talked about product of the year. What is your favorite hardware product? What is your favorite software product? We want to know what you think. The choices on the poll, of course, it's just a poll. You click a button. So I made three choices. My choice for product of the year is hardware, software, and okay, the Macintosh. So far, and because when I don't put the Macintosh on, I get people who they twitch, they fall over, they start foaming at the mouth. Their eyes roll back into their heads. Their skin gets clammy. So I put it up there. Okay, you happy now? Okay. So far... But how do I really feel? So far, we've got 59 votes. 56% of you think there was a hardware product for choice of the year. 24% think a software product. And a dozen of you think it was the Macintosh itself. Now, I realize that that's a very skimpy poll. The reason being that we need to know what you really think. And that's where the little yellow box underneath the poll comes in. At the bottom of that little yellow box is a link that says, give us your opinion. If you click on that, it takes you to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com.
Ding.
Ding, thank you. And you can put in your vote for a little bit more of an opinion on what your choice for product of the year is. The first person wrote in Ubuntu 5.10, of course, great version of Linux. Second person, of course, it was just pretty much anything that said Macintosh on it anywhere, including the galoshes. Third person didn't know they're still woozy. Number four, Asus motherboards. That's a good choice. Ooh. I like Asus motherboards. Yes. I like them a lot.
Their new dual core boards are fantastic. I love them.
Yep. Dave from Greece, God bless you, said hardware, the great Ask Nick pen.
Ooh.
If you've seen us at any events, I give away the Ask Nick pen. It's a gel pen. I love them. I get maybe one out of every two dozen that suddenly doesn't work for whatever reason. I don't know what that's about, but the ones that do work forever, and they work great. I'm very impressed with the pen myself, which is why I'm willing to give it away. And so it's the Ask Nick pen. So if you see us at events, hopefully I'll still have a few pens left to give away. I love them. The problem is, I buy them by, like, the billions.
Yeah,
and then
here.
My wife, she's got them at her computer desk and at the kitchen and in the car and in her purse and in her every pocket.
And you can still never find one when you
want
it.
And then I'm sitting there with my one Ask Nick pen, and she walks by and takes it out of my hand. What is up with that?
I have the same problem at my shop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can sit there, and each day I go through, and I put a pen, the Enright pens, near each monitor, so we have something.
Sure, to write with.
But within the end of the day, they all migrate to my office manager's front desk or up to my wife's desk.
Yeah, I start with three or four pens in front of each monitor, and by the end of the day, there might be one left.
Might be, yeah.
I usually, at the end of the week, have to go to both Lori and Samantha's desk and grab a mitt full of pens.
Yep.
Because they have this habit of, they come over to ask us a question, they grab the pen, and then they walk back to their desk, or my wife goes back upstairs, and I have to grab them and then redistribute them. Because Dan and I are always looking around for a pen, and it's like, where'd they all go? We know. Now we know where to go.
Right. I have people in the College of Business at RIT where I work come into my office every once in a while and will casually mention that their pen has run out, or
and
they love the pen and they left it home and they really like the pen. And
yeah,
so I've got to give. What I should have done is wrapped up 100 pens for my wife for Christmas.
There you go.
It would have been the perfect gift. There, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what I was thinking.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Exactly. I never know what I'm thinking. But that's what goes on at our website. So please join us there. When you're done at AskNick.com, that's Ask Nick. Wait. That's AskNick.com. Thank you so much. Great. There goes Dave again.
We're killing the man.
We're killing the man.
Yeah, he's got a bad heart, remember?
Right. No, my heart should be better now that they put the stent in.
It's bionic now.
Ooh, bionic finger. No, it's biometrics.
No, I'm just getting over a cold.
Yeah, you say that.
And matter of fact, I even was nice enough and passed it on to the wife.
That's good. Don't breathe on me. Have a couple more rum balls.
You know, I haven't had one of them.
You're missing out on some good rum balls.
That's probably because you got loaded on them last night.
No, I'll be honest with you. It's like the anise cookies. I'll eat those and the gingerbread. But the rest of the cookies, it's like because I made them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I don't even want to touch them.
You had so much of the batter while you were making
them. Yeah, you know, it's like, forget it.
One time years ago, I don't drink much. I don't drink a lot. It's 10 years ago now. I'm old now. Wow. Nobody remembers the Spanish Inquisition. Anyway, I was sitting with my boss at a place I used to work, and his wife had sent in this huge tin of rum balls, and they were still sitting on his desk waiting for the party later on in the day. And he and I were talking and about this and that and discussing strategy, and it was like an hour-long meeting, and he opened up the rum balls, and we each popped a few rum balls. Didn't think much about it because there wasn't a lot of taste in it. He got up out of his chair and fell over. I got up and I was really woozy. He called his wife and said, what's in these rum balls? She said, I tripled the rum in the recipe.
Oh.
And we had, you know, they didn't taste anything as good as these. Sorry, I shouldn't say that.
You could definitely taste the rum in those
things.
Certainly
not as strong. But
so much so my mother called and wants me to bring her some home. I said, Mom, it's Sunday. You're not supposed to get smashed.
We'll send cookies to Mrs. Linton. All right.
There we go. That's a good deal.
Take her some.
Absolutely. Yeah, she'll love it.
Tell you what, the alcohol burns off.
What we don't eat here in this tray, take it to your mom.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
No,
we love your mom.
She always takes care of us.
We love your mom. Somebody's got to.
Stop it.
All right, we'll go back to the phones then. We'll talk to Mark from Irondequoit. Mark, welcome. What was your geek gift this year?
Oh, I got a 4 hours time on a telescope in New Mexico.
Oh, how cool is that?
That is so cool.
The very large array?
Yeah, there's several telescopes, and you can download CCD images, have them change filters and eyepieces and stuff.
Wow.
Oh, how neat.
Cool.
Now that is
okay,
a cool
Mark,
geek.
You
yeah.
win.
Yeah, that is the top one. Oh, that is. Now, where'd she come up with that idea? Are you into astrology or?
Yeah,
astronomy.
Astronomy, I'm sorry.
Astrology would have gotten like the Omar Bradley, not Omar Bradley, that's somebody else.
Well,
Omar
you could
somebody.
Be into both.
Right, that's true. You got 4 hours on a telescope where in Arizona?
New Mexico.
Oh, in New Mexico, the array.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
There's like four or five telescopes to choose from.
And this is something you can sign up for on the net somewhere?
Yes, you can get a membership. I think it's monthly.
How stinking cool is it? You win.
Yeah.
Mark, you absolutely win.
Do I get a pen?
You get a pen. You just got to come up to our...
pick it up at the Wham Studios. We'll catch you with a pen at some point, no question. I'm right. very
Maybe
impressed.
Another one of our...
I'm really impressed.
Next time we go out and do
seminar
a seminar.
Yeah,
we'll
absolutely.
Probably be doing a couple more seminars, hopefully, within
Mark,
the
I'm
next
impressed.
Few months.
Anyway, what's your... Now, you can't beat this, of course, but what's your question?
Well, I forgot my administrator password, and I'd like to recover it so I can do a system-wide... scan.
What version of Windows?
It's 2000 XP.
No, it's one or the other.
Windows or 2000 or XP?
XP.
Okay.
In general,
it's usually blank.
Well, and if right, there is no password unless you set one.
When it was originally installed or down the road, you went in under your particular name and put one in.
Right.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember it.
Yeah. Okay. That's not so good.
Under. Let's put it this way. Now, do you actually log on as administrator or do you log on as Mark?
As Mark. Yeah.
Okay. What you can do, here's the way to do it, is you reboot the machine and you boot into safe mode.
Right.
And it'll show you two accounts. It'll show you the administrator and it will show you Mark.
Okay.
Select administrator. And through there, you can then change Mark's password.
No, it's the other way around. It's the administrator password he can't remember.
Yeah, but see, that's under it. Mark, though.
Well, is Mark but is Mark an administrator user or a standard user?
When you boot up in safe mode, you will see administrator, and then you will see Mark. Mark has administrative rights, but you will also see the main administrator account. And if you go on as administrator...
How do you get in as administrator if you can't remember the administrator password?
The administrator is for, because Mark is also considered a administrator.
There's a secret hidden user called administrator.
Yes. And when you reboot in safe mode, you will see both administrator, which normally you don't see in normal booting. You only see, say, Mark. Or mm-hmm. if he just has boot. There will be two of them there. Trust me.
So you log in as administrator without
log
a password.
Without a password. And there, you will be able to change Mark's password. I've done it a
Mark's password is not his problem.
Well, no, wait, well, Mark is your administrator account?
Well, the machine's registered to me, and it's my name when I log on.
And that's the only one you see, though, right?
Right.
And, yes.
And that one you know the password to?
No.
No.
That's
oh,
the
that's
one
the one you're having a yeah. problem with.
Right. Yeah.
All right, then what Dave says will work.
Yeah, go into in safe mode, select the
administrator. I was confused. I thought he knew his password but didn't know the admin password.
No, he's the admin for Mark.
Yeah, it's really confusing with XP. There's hidden users.
Right.
Right.
When you create only one user on your machine, which is done by default, that user is an administrator.
Yeah.
But it's not the administrator.
So go ahead and reboot in safe mode. And, you know, you can select the administrator, reboot, and, or, you know, change it there and then reboot, and you should be good to go. We had another caller, though.
Well, let's back up a step and warn people about the importance of remembering your passwords, because we
yes.
hear it all the time. You know, what's your email password? Well, I don't have to type it in. That wasn't my question.
Yeah.
What's your email password? Because you're getting a new computer. We need your password to put in your email account.
We had one other caller, and evidently he's had trouble getting through or disconnected, and wanted to know the difference between save and run. Well, save is the command when you want to literally save a file. In other words, I've created a document.
And you want to put it on the hard disk so you'll be able to get it back
yeah.
later. That's save.
Versus run. What run does is, and you'll hear us mention this a number of times, if you go to Windows XP or Windows 2000 and even 98, if you click on the start button, there's a run command. And from that command, you can literally run, go to a DOS prompt.
Yeah, run is the act of opening a program. And save is the act of taking the data that you've typed and putting it on the hard
right.
drive.
Right.
So they're kind of opposite. Run, open something from the hard drive, and save puts it down to the hard drive.
Right. And through that run command, you can do a lot of things, really. I mean, like you say, issue command. You can tell it to start up a program. You can sit there
right.
and check other things.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Rob is rocking out in the other room. Steve, on the other hand, is all about the emo. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
We're ready for your calls at 222-1180. Long distance on the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers on News Radio 1180.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites for the 1st of January. I love the thought that it's a brand new year, 2006.
And how many times are we going to write 05 until we get used to the 06?
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
I usually write until about June.
Yeah. You know. Once the month is 06, you can start writing the day is 06, the year is 06. Is that what you're saying? All right, we're back to the phones. We have Matt from Gasport, New York. Welcome, Matt. What's your question?
Hey, I just want to wish y'all a happy New Year.
And very much the same to you, my friend.
Thank you,
What
sir.
Was your geek gift this year?
Closest thing I had really was a Nikon digital camera.
Nice. How do you like it?
Well, it's got a lot of toys in that, you know.
You're right. You'll let us know in 4 or 5 months when you figure everything out.
Well, that's the thing, you know. It's like if you don't use it every day, then how do you remember where it was?
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Yeah,
isn't
buttons.
That the truth?
That
All right, what's your
me
question?
Back to my question, yeah, exactly. You know, it's like I had a lot of problems with my. My laptop, and I just decided I can't deal with this anymore. You know, I'm just going to go out there and reload the XP program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything worked out fine, except that everything seems to be magnified. You know, it's like everything from the icons to when you get inside. Like,
yeah, your display is too big.
You haven't finished loading the extra driver disk. Quite often with restore disks that come with computers, you reload your OS.
Right.
Then you have to load all the secondary drivers.
Okay.
So it's your video driver that isn't loaded.
They go right through a whole line of them, but they don't. You got to individually load them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It will show you a list of the drivers that you need to load, but then you have to do them one at a time.
Check and see, though. It might have found it, but if you right-click on any bare spot on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And right-click on it, and then go down to Properties.
Yeah, I did that already.
And you go over to the last tab and change it to 1024 by 768.
Yeah, they wouldn't even let me get in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, and then that's what I was going to ask you. If you could get to that far, then the drivers are there. But if they're not, like Steve said, you've now got to get the CD that usually says drivers.
Yeah, I got it all.
And just load it in.
Find the right one I need then, huh?
And you reboot, and you should be good.
Sounds fantastic. Hey, how do you get the recipe for those rum balls?
Just email me, and I'll gladly give it
bar.
To you.
Yeah.
I've passed it out a few, but the secret of it is it's 20-year-old Antigua rum. And believe it or not, it was a gentleman that I used to work with many years back. Seems like another lifetime, I think it was, at Kodak. And believe it or not, the guy was from Antigua, and when the Olympics were here back in the 80s, he ran for Antigua. And him and I became good friends and everything else, and I did a couple computer favors for him and that. And when he came back from Antigua, he brought me that rum, and of course, I'm no big drinker at all, and saved it. And this, I found this in rum ball recipe. I figured, oh, what the heck, I'll try this. And I think I've gotten 3 years worth of rum balls out of it. There's just a little bit left. And
time to make another trip.
They are potent.
They're very tasty.
Yeah. And they're so easy to make. I mean, there's literally no cooking.
You think they're
them.
Easy because by the time you made it, you've been hailing alcohol fumes for the last four hours. No wonder you think it's easy.
Yeah, but the thing that is, though, it, like I said, there's no cooking. Literally no cooking.
There you go.
There we go.
All right. Our next caller is Sal from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Sal. What was your geek toy?
Hey, actually, what did I get? I got a new hard drive.
Nice.
Which is giving me the problem.
Yeah, there you go.
I needed more space, so I moved my iTunes.
Uh-huh.
It stopped me, which I normally am pretty decent with iTunes and the iPod. But moving the library over, following the direction, you know, going through the advanced command and trying to consolidate the library, it has lost track of all the songs unless I individually manually go and track it down. And I've got about 38 gigs of music, so I don't want to do it one at a time.
Yeah, we're seeing that quite a bit now with the popularity of the iPod and people getting more and more songs. Your internal hard drive isn't big enough anymore.
Yeah, so I moved it to the external, and following the steps, it should have done it. You know, you set up the separate folder, you move the library over, you consolidate the two. It's supposed to have been able to track it, but iTunes lost it.
Yeah, Apple's got a instruction page on how to move your music folder to another another location, which could also be another drive as well. And there's a couple of the things you have to do before you physically move the folder. The other thing you can do is delete all of the songs from iTunes and then drag the music folders from now the new hard drive back into iTunes, and now it will use that location for your songs. You may lose any custom playlists you've created because that's stored in an XML file, but that will get all of the music back into iTunes from the external hard drive.
But if he follows that procedure, shouldn't that work just as well?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to redo
it. But it may be beyond that if it's not working now.
Okay.
Right, but the point is it's really just drag and drop, and he should get all the songs back again, at least the structure, and then he can create his...
The playlist or an XML
file. That's certainly better
file.
Than 38 gigs of brand-new files one at a time. Just drag the folder
over
and
drag the whole
done.
Folder in, yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, he's gone.
Good. I meant good that it made sense, but apparently that... Never mind. Anyway, our next caller is Jeff from North Rose, New York. Jeff, where's North Rose?
Out in God's country between Rochester and Syracuse.
Probably
it's all God's country in Western New York.
Probably north of South Rose?
It's north of just Rose.
north of Rose, yeah.
North of Rose.
I get that question a lot.
I bet you do. Where? What was your favorite geek toy this year?
Actually, I didn't wind up getting a geek toy because my wife's not much of a geek person, and I didn't leave enough clues around, so I'm
You know, sometimes, as I tell my wife, the hints that she has to leave are like the pages out of the catalog. That's as close as I get to a hint every year. So
my wife does that. She pulls the pages out of the catalog, tapes them to a notebook, and hands it to me.
My daughter does that, except in her case, it's like this catalog. Dad.
The whole catalog.
Yeah, right, exactly. Anyway, what's your question, Jeff?
Right now I've got Mac envy for that guy that got that G5 quad system.
Oh, that's Scott? Scott in Buffalo? Yeah, we're all going to visit him later.
And this is directed towards him and those Word files. I bought my in-laws a Mac Mini. To replace their aging iMac, and I did all the conversions for them, and all I did was use a crossover cable you can get in any Radio Shack, transfer all those files in mass into the Documents folder at 10.4.3, and I didn't have to add any DOC to any of that stuff. I just double-clicked on the file, and the latest version of Word for the Mac just opens right up.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. We forgot to ask him how he was moving his files from his old computer to his new computer. One of the problems I've seen is, one of the solutions is to use a flash drive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The problem is that flash drives are formatted for PCs.
Right.
Generally. So when you copy your Mac file onto the PC flash drive, it may lose its Mac-ness.
Right, all those little hidden folders.
Yeah.
But they can also use a, if he's got a CD read-write drive in his old blue and white, he can burn a boatload of those files right on there.
Yeah, you burn it to CD,
you know,
or network the two computers together.
So
and
what
share.
You're saying is what Jeff did is moved everything from Mac to Mac natively, and that worked.
Yeah.
Because it brought over all those hidden files.
Yeah.
But when Scott did it, he may have used an intermediary format that was PC-based, and lost the Mac-itudedness of the files themselves.
Yeah.
What I think a lot of
folks...
So
they probably show up as Unix executable files on the new Mac because it doesn't know it's a Word file anymore.
Right.
Well, I think this is one thing that's going to gain popularity this year, and both on the Mac and the PC side, is now the external USB hard drives.
Yeah.
Because
oh,
you can
so
literally
badly.
Put any size hard drive you want in it.
That's what we're
and
recommending
use
for...
the tools to... Like this and this gentleman, not only to move it from one computer to the other, oh, by the way, it's a form of backup.
Right, that's what we're recommending now for backup. It used to be zip disks and tape drives, but now an external hard drive is so cheap, you back up everything,
right?
So you don't have to worry about it.
I've got an 80 gigabyte drive that will fit in my pocket.
Yep.
Yeah.
And both Mac and Windows have the transfer wizard. Windows calls it the files and settings transfer wizard.
Right.
Apple calls it the migration assistant. So if you plug your old computer in what's called FireWire target mode, turns your computer into a hard drive instead of a computer.
I wasn't sure 8.6 would do that, though.
Well, it's not the operating system. It's the hardware level, and the blue and white G3 doesn't support target mode. The next newer computer would have, but the blue and white G3 doesn't.
One thing I should warn folks about, and I don't know if you've run into this yet, Steve, is with that file and transfer wizard, one issue that I found, especially with XP Pro, is we go ahead and do that, and it copies all the emails and all the settings and everything over. One issue, though, that I found that it corrupts is, like, say on this old machine, if I had Windows 98, I'm sitting there and I do this file and transfer. And before on the 98 machine, I had mapped drives.
Yeah.
Now, if I ghost it, you know, or use this program to, you know, copy everything over, and now I'm on the new XP Pro, and I map, say, a bunch of drive letters to, say, the server. Now it requires me each time to log in to the server or even another workstation, those map drives, to make the connection. Whereas before, 98 and that, it would automatically do it. You know, the drives would automatically be there.
Yeah,
but yet, if I do a clean install, in other words, I just go ahead and just map the drive letters to that particular machine or server, whatever, it doesn't require me to log in. So there's something in that settings transfer
that didn't take.
That doesn't take, well, that it messes up. So automatically logging into the drive.
If you wipe out those connections and restate them, you should be fine.
Nope.
Really?
Yeah, you got to. Well, even when you move them over and you go to do it, there's something in there, and I haven't had the time because of the holidays and that to find out why. But yeah, no, you've literally, when you do the file transfer, you got to go over and map each drive. And every time you reboot that machine, you've got to log in to those drives.
Well, that goes back to the issue that Microsoft says you're not supposed to use mapped drives anymore. You're supposed to use the full UNC.
Right.
Because mapping drives is old and may not work.
Right.
But everyone maps drives.
Everybody maps drives. What I'd love to do is,
how can you not map a drive on a network?
You use the full UNC.
// server name /. Right. Volume name.
Instead of M colon. Yeah, it works.
Yeah,
it works, but it's the new way to do it.
It also, we've run into customers where they put in a new database network and the database company hard coded F colon.
I hate it when they do that.
So this
lazy
computer,
bad program.
Yeah, this computer's F drive is something else. This computer's F. So like 30 computers on the network, we had to change their drive mapping, and none of the Macs would work. Because the Macs don't use drive
F
letters.
F colon, right.
Right. So if he would have used the UNC, the Macs and the PCs would have been able to access.
No, it's server /.
Right, server name secret. /, folder name.
Now,
you're talking about actually an F's fully qualified domain name, FQN, FQD.
Yeah, or UNC FQD. On...
Universal
Naming Convention. Yeah.
All right.
Too many TLAs.
Too many TLAs. And I'm... You know, BFD.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of the things that I'd love to be able to do is I'd love to be able to put, I got a new brand new hard drive, and I'd love to put it on the network attached storage.
Yeah.
Instead of as a USB connected to one machine, I'd like to put it on the network so all the machines can.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies that do that. It's a hard drive with an Ethernet port. Basically, it's a Linux computer. With a hard drive in it, and the Linux computer turns on sharing.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I'd love to do.
It's like a print server device.
Yeah, there's USB network servers where you can plug a USB hard drive into it, and
it just
serves it to the network.
Yeah, it's out there too.
Well, we'll talk about
that. But there's also direct and the NASs, network attached storage. It has typically
SAN storage.
Because it's just that little device, and then that way that little device,
that's generally
like a print server. Has a an IP address. It's given an IP address, and whatever is attached to it, whether it's a printer or whatever, all of them have. I think even HP.
Yeah, generally the NASs and SANs have been out of the price range of the average home user.
But that's what I would prefer. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller, Diane from Dansville, New York. Welcome, Diane. What's your question?
I have what I hope is a simple question compared to the last one.
Well, yeah, but Diane, the questions are always simple.
Oh, thank you.
It's the answers that are hard.
Difficult. I have, all of a sudden today, having trouble getting on a website I use all the time, and they're now telling me that they have an invalid certificate.
Yeah, we're going to see this a lot now because we're ticked over into a new year.
Okay.
Secure websites like banks and stores and shopping carts and things like that, they buy a security certificate from a company to prove that they are secure and encrypted.
Generally a company called VeriSign.
VeriSign. And those security certificates have an expiration date, December 31st of whatever year.
I see.
So now that we're in a brand new year, we're going to start seeing companies have expired certificates. Eventually, they'll renew their certificate.
Okay.
So, and that's really all it takes.
So eventually, after they've renewed, I'll be able to get back on with no trouble.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Well, generally, what you can do is say ignore the fact that the certificate's out of date and go there anyway. It's still secure. It's just they're not proved to be secure.
They won't let me do that. They keep asking, do you want to continue? And I say yes. And
you've probably got it set for high security.
No, I went back and looked, and it says accept all cookies.
No, cookies are different from certificates.
Okay. What do I
That's the difference. But you may have this set up. You may have your server set up for high security. If you're using Internet Explorer, you can change that.
Okay.
One of the important things to note, however, is that leaving it at high security is a very good idea.
Yes.
Okay.
So you may just want to wait a day or two. My suspicion is that Monday at the latest Tuesday, somebody will have slapped the systems administrator hard enough to get that done.
So in fact, if you can look at the expiration.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can look at the expiration dates on your security certificates, and most of them are like 2099.
Yeah.
So they won't expire for another 100 years.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's the good news. Well, I'll just be patient then. Now, should it not come back, you said that I can somehow change my security level in Internet Explorer?
Yes. You can lower the security level in Internet Explorer actually fairly easily. I don't use Internet Explorer, so I'm launching it right now. So
well, if you go into Control Panel, Internet Options, there's a tab there that's your securities.
Right.
And so from there, you can go Internet. What is it? Internet, local Internet. And there's where you can change, you know, go for the default level.
It may be in trusted. You may have put it in trusted sites. You know, under any one of these settings, if you go to, if you open up Internet Explorer, go to Tools, Internet Options.
Okay.
One of the tabs is Security, and you have four choices: Internet, Local Intranet, Trusted Sites, and Restricted Sites.
And what should I be on?
Well, it's probably in Trusted Sites right now.
Okay.
You can remove it from there, and put it in the regular Internet sites.
Regular Internet sites.
Right, and that just Internet sites, and that means it'll be, you know, whatever the settings are for that, and you can change the level of that to medium or high or low.
Or just accept the default for that.
Right.
Internet.
Okay. I'll give that a shot.
There you go.
Thank you very much. I told you it was an easy question.
It was an easy question. Thank you, Diane. We needed one of those today. Our next caller is Joe from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Joe. What do you know?
Hi there. I'm wondering if it's possible for me to stop getting these WinFixer pop-ups frequently when I'm Internet surfing.
Don't use Internet Explorer. Use a better browser that has a pop-up blocker.
Uh-huh. I think I had some pop-up blockers installed, but I guess that's not sufficient.
No, they're probably not sufficient. It may also be that you've got some sort of virus on your system that's feeding these things to you.
Or spyware. Do you run spyware? Yeah, do you use Adware and SpyBot?
Yes.
And you've run the entire Security Tango?
I run Stinger and Norton and Adware and SpyBot.
Then the problem is, like, you're using Internet Explorer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably where the problem lies.
Firefox is, definitely what we've been recommending now for, over 2 years?
It's a free download. It lives happily on the system alongside Internet Explorer. In fact, I just had both of them running simultaneously side by side. That's never a problem.
Right.
Download it and give it a try at the very least. One of the nice things is when you install it, it'll say, oh, would you like to move over all of your bookmarks from Internet Explorer. Say yes, and then when you boot it up, you'll get all the same bookmarks and all the same places that you always had them in Internet Explorer, so you don't even have to reset all those.
And when you're done there, go ahead and give Thunderbird a try for your email.
Instead
and talk
of
about
Internet,
being able to filter out junk
Outlook
mail.
Express, yeah.
I mean, it's the best tool to use, and you only thing to give up is junk mail.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, except for a couple of sites on the net where I actually said I want the pop-ups for various reasons, because they're not ads, they're things that I want to do. I don't even see pop-ups on the web anymore. No. I haven't seen a pop-up, and I can't tell you how long. I forget they're there until somebody calls in with a question, because I'm using Firefox.
Yeah.
So give that a try. You'll probably be a lot happier, and you won't see those WinFixer doodads anymore. Our next caller is Jeff from Gates, New York. Jeff, what was your geek toy this year?
My geek toy was a tree stand for hunting deer.
Oh, nice.
uh,
complete with MP3 player and closed circuit television and satellite dish.
That would be nice.
And the thermal thermal underwear would be
right. Yeah. Give me that first. That's it. I don't care how many stands I got. Give me the thermal undies first. Definitely. What's your question, Jeff?
I'm trying to help a family member. They have Windows XP Pro with Service Pack 2,
mm-hmm.
and I have taught them to do the security tango at least once a week.
Good.
They have Norton Internet Security, but two things happen. One is they got a downloader Trojan, and they have SpyX on there, which is supposedly a legitimate program, but you cannot get rid of it. And it's the whole machine went crazy. I did everything I could. I did even got hijacked this, and I went to a whole bunch of things to clear out this program, and I supposedly did, went to safe mode in the registry, everything, and it's not gone. The downloader Trojan, I think, is gone, but the first thing it did was disable live update on Norton Internet Security. That was the beginning of the problems, and then the whole machine is... I'm just wondering...
Tell you what.
Yes, sir.
Here's one thing you can try. Mm-hmm. One is go and uninstall Norton. Uninstall Norton and try running the machine. In other words, uninstall it completely. I have had folks run into more problems running that Norton Internet Security, especially versions 2005 and 2006, that it causes more problems than it's worth. So try uninstalling. See if that is your issue. If, by uninstalling, rebooting, and just see if you can quick get on the internet and then, disconnect from it so you don't get any other problems. But I think that's going to solve, a big deal of your problems. And you might want to look at maybe if you can just install the antivirus part of the Norton and use, if you're still worried about, security in that and you don't have a firewall, we recommend Zone Alarm. And that offers better protection, and it doesn't interfere with the operating system, where Norton tries to get its fingers in there and do more than it should, and Windows and Norton just clash heads and cause a lot of issues.
And SpyX is a particularly nasty Trojan to try to remove. I found some removal instructions, and it's hacking in the registry and deleting really cryptic registry entries. So it's a pretty nasty one to have to remove.
Yep. Good luck.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
I got a link up on the link list for it.
Perfect. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. We've got Lynn on the phone on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
We're ready for your calls at 222-1180. Long distance on the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or star 1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers on...
Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. We have Lynn from Rochester, New York on the phone. Welcome, Lynn. What's your question?
Good afternoon.
Question. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir, and Happy New Year.
Same to you. Did you get a geek toy?
We haven't had Christmas yet.
Oh, good for you. Save it.
Story. I installed Thunderbird a week ago and loved it. I like the junk mail aspect of it, but it would not accept any outgoing mail.
Really?
No problem. So I switched back to Outlook to see, and that was working fine.
You probably have a typo in the address of your outgoing mail server Thunderbird setup.
Let's step back a little bit. How do you connect to the internet? Is it broadband?
Cable, yeah. Roadrunner.
Roadrunner?
Mm-hmm.
The outgoing mail must be the Roadrunner outgoing mail address.
Okay.
A lot of people have a problem with that because they have, for example, they love to send their mail out through their own domain name.
Are you using Norton?
No, I'm not. I have Trend Micro, and I've had it for 2-3 years now.
Yeah, and it's a nice product.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
And I do the security tangle.
Excellent. It is likely one of two things. Either you don't have it set to the correct...
outgoing
SMTP.
Right, email address,
right.
Or there's a, Either you're trying to use one that isn't Roadrunners, or you've got a typo in the name.
And it's
what I find all the time is people have put a comma instead of a period. And you yes. can't see it.
And mm-hmm. and one of the things that we have run into is the easy typo. It's got to be SMTP.
Right.
And people will put in SMPT.
Right. Now, and
we've also seen in some email programs, and in fact, Roadrunner was initially instructing this, is you just put in the SMTP hyphen server.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do smtp-server.rochester.rr.com.
Right, and that's what's in there. I verify.
I'm wondering
is
if
there an error message that pops up when you try to send? What's the error message?
You were hiding that from us, weren't you, Lynn? We get to it. What's the error message?
Sending of message failed. Message could not be sent because connecting to SMTP server. And then all the wording for the SMTP dash server period Rochester period rr.com failed. Server may be unavailable or is refusing SMTP connection.
Is that
please verify?
And you're sure it's the hyphen, the dash in the middle of the letter, not the underscore at the bottom
right,
of the letter?
Right. Because I had this problem years ago when with Roadrunner, and I finally found out how to do it and go in and check my outgoing server, so forth and so on.
Right. You can log into Roadrunner's webmail too to make sure the system is working. Another issue we've seen with all of the ISPs, including Roadrunner, is if they think you've had a virus and your machine has been sending too much mail, they will turn off your SMTP access.
Okay.
And then in 24 hours, they'll turn it back on and see if your computer is still sending out a lot of mail. If it is, they'll turn it off again.
Lynn, also a question for you.
Yeah.
Now, what antivirus program are you using?
The Trend Micro.
All right. I was going to say, you might want to check your settings in there and make sure that that's not filtering out or monitoring your outgoing mail.
Okay.
Or turn it off temporarily and see if mail will go.
All right, I did that.
And there's two other
I
things.
I halted the internet traffic.
You halted it?
When I was trying to figure this out.
Okay.
And then I put it back on.
Well, you don't want to stop internet traffic.
Right.
You want to stop the firewall and blocking system.
Right. The other part of that is, what is your firewall?
I'm assuming it's in my Trend Micro.
Okay. Make sure that's allowing outgoing mail.
Okay, now
from Thunderbird.
Me too. How in God's name can I find my firewall? That's what I was just trying to do now.
Well, if you're using Trend Micro, it is not in itself a firewall.
Okay. Because I went into properties, I went into options.
Right. It's not Trend Micro. If you had Zone Alarm, that would be a firewall.
I don't.
If you've got that little shield down in the corner, that's Microsoft's firewall.
Okay.
But not Trend Micro. That's just
antivirus.
Okay. All right. So I need to determine where my firewall is and pick.
And it may be the Windows firewall.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, and that may be blocking Thunderbird too.
All right.
So I would check that first. And the other thing, and then give a call to the folks at Time Warner and find out if they're blocking you for some reason. That's probably your next best bet there.
Yeah, we've had that happen with several customers where one day their mail works, the next day it doesn't, the next day it works again, the next day it doesn't.
Yep.
And it's the ISP thinking you've got a virus sending out too much mail, so they stop your mail service.
Yep. Right.
Without telling you, which is annoying.
Which is annoying.
They should send you a message saying, we stopped your mail service because it looks like you have a virus.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
All right, our next caller is Joe from Greece, New York. Welcome, Joe. What was your geek gift this year?
I actually did get one.
What?
No, I didn't get a geek gift.
No?
No geek gift this year.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know.
I personally would go on strike till next year.
That's okay. I made out okay anyway.
Oh, that's all right then. What's your question?
I'm running Windows XP, my machine at home, and it's been running very sluggish as of late, so I ran the AdAware scan on it, come up with 412 critical issues.
Mm-hmm.
I go to select them all and delete them, and everything just freezes up. It freezes up at that point. I did it 3 or 4 times, does the exact same thing. I tried to delete individually one by one.
No, you got to do it in safe mode.
Were you doing it in safe mode?
No, I'm not.
There you go.
One of them is really embedded into Windows, and when you try to delete it, it's crashing the system.
we tell folks run it in safe mode, because then that way that particular program won't get loaded into memory. In safe mode, it's very literally the bare essence. Even your screen will look big because it doesn't use the higher resolutions. Like if you were doing 1024 by 768, it'll literally do 640 by 480.
Right. It loads absolutely the minimum number of things needed to run Windows, and the viruses won't be part of that minimum, so they won't load. And then you can
you know
rid
what?
Of them.
That's the, actually the one time when you're running in safe mode that Windows runs all right with 128 meg.
Yeah. We've also seen some cases, if the things are embedded really deep, you have to go into msconfig and turn off all your startup items.
Yeah. Right.
And that's that also helps for really entrenched spyware.
Yep.
Okay. Give those things a try and let us know.
Okay, thanks for your help.
Yep. Thanks, Joe. Our next caller is Bob from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Peachy, how are you?
I'm fine.
What geek gift did you get?
Oh, I got time to finally get to start playing with some of this stuff.
Yeah. See, the gift of time. There is no better gift.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'd rather have probably a new machine than to deal with what I'm trying to do.
Uh-oh, what happened?
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to set up a machine to do some instrumentation stuff, you know, some data acquisition,
right,
stuff like that. And presently the machine I have is running Windows 95.
Oh, boy.
And runs super on it. It runs fine, but I'm trying to now start to get it to network. And
no.
Having problems. I was wondering, I have machines that run Windows 98.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That network nice and fine.
Yep.
My question is, do you think it's worth me to put a 486 machine up to Windows 98?
Well, if you want to network it, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but really, the reality is that networking under Windows 95, A, there's no support for it anymore. B, you're not going to find drivers for most of the network cards that are out there. You'll be lucky to find them for Windows 98.
You'll be lucky to find a 98 to buy to put it on the computer.
Well, right. But if you've actually got an extra copy of Windows 98 that isn't already on another machine, then absolutely set it up on that 486. It'll run awfully slow, but all you're doing is data acquisition. You should be all right.
And get at least 100. It only needs 128 meg of memory. So if it's got 32 or 64 meg with a Windows 95, try to get it up to 128, and that'll help that older machine run a little bit better with the 98.
Great.
There you go.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. Yeah, that's an important thing that we need to remind folks is that
98's dead.
95 is gone. Long, long, long gone. 98 is long, long, long gone. XP will be gone soon because Vista's coming out.
And that's
NT's gone. And 2000 is
NT's gone. 2000's on its last.
It's approaching. What do they call it? The
end of life.
End of life phase.
Yeah.
They might acknowledge that it exists.
Right.
Well, that's the other big thing that's going to be, we talked about the previous things that happened last year. One of the big things that folks are going to be looking forward to later on this year is going to be a whole new chipset. I mean, they're coming out with the next generations that was promised for this year, that whatever they're going to name it, whether it's Pentium 5 or who knows what. Next brand of chips are due out later this year. I think it's supposed to be around June. Who knows? But the doors are wide open for how the architect is going to look and the look and feel of all these new machines. I mean, we've already seen them stretching to get to the dual core. Dual core, basically what that is, folks, is it's one motherboard, but it's got two processors within one chip. They're very expensive. And it can handle multiple video cards. And literally, if I've got something going on one screen, one processor will handle that. And if I've got another display doing, say, video, the other processor takes over and does that. And they both have their own separate cache and everything else.
My dream, dual core, dual processor, Athlon 64 is running Linux.
You can already buy that now.
Yeah.
The Quad G5, it's running BSD Unix, which
is
pretty close.
Right, which is the same thing, but I'm talking about being able to afford it under any name.
Well, that's
not going to happen.
It's only $3,000.
Right. You talk about the new hardware that's coming out. Let's also talk about Vista. the new version of Windows that used to be called Longhorn. That was the code name. Now it's
what
called
Vista. Viruses, insecurity, spyware, Trojans, and what was the A?
Adware,
yep.
The Vista is going to come out probably this year, late-ish, in this year.
I'll bet you November.
I'll guarantee you, you do not have enough memory, you do not have a fast enough processor, and you really, really, really don't have a good enough video card.
Mm-hmm.
99% of you, I'll guarantee that. Those of you who have built up huge gaming machines probably will be okay. The people who have bought the deals, you know, with the built-in video card and the $200 computer and the $699, they're not going to run Vista. They're just not going to run it. You don't have enough memory. You don't have enough power. You'll need a new video card. You might as well just buy a new machine by the time you're done.
But the key thing is, though, what's going to make me want to go to Vista?
The fact that you won't be able to buy XP anymore.
But that they'll still support that for at least another 2 years.
There's nothing to make
support
you go.
Support it, but the real, maybe
the
not
real
sell
thing,
it anymore.
Well, right. The real thing about this product is it's going to be a whole change. And the Macintosh and Linux people are saying, look, as long as you got to change anyway, why not change to the Mac or to Linux, which is either cheaper or better or whatever it's going to be. And on the Linux side, they're saying, and oh, by the way, it's free. And you got to make a change anyway. You got to learn a whole new way of computing. You might as well move off the platform that causes all the trouble and move to something new. It'll be interesting to see what goes on
in
the next few months.
You know, what's going to make me go that way versus going to Linux?
Exactly. All right, we're done for another week. I want to wish everyone a safe, prosperous, blessed new year. It's going to be a great year, 2006. We're all looking forward to wonderful things. We're all looking forward to something wonderful from Rob Linton. We'll have to figure out what that's going to be later. No pressure, though,
thank
Rob.
You very much.
There it was. Back next week on the greatest computer show in the known universe, and you all know what that is. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Thanks for joining us.